These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Mark 16:17-18. In recent years, we have witnessed an alarming increase in mental illnesses, such as depression, stress, and anxiety. These conditions seem to be becoming more common, leading many people to seek help from psychologists. However, they often receive only medication to calm the symptoms. The question arises, do demons have anything to do with these issues? Are they simply normal diseases, or is there something more behind them? If demons are involved, what should be done? Dear listener, in this video, I will show from a biblical perspective the authority that Christ grants us over demons. Once you understand this, you will be able to help many people who are oppressed by demonic entities to be set free in the name of Jesus. Before continuing, I ask that you like this video and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, so you can receive all our new content. Many believers often ignore the spiritual conflict that every Christian faces, either due to a lack of knowledge about the spiritual realm or because their pastors do not teach them about it. Some Bible teachers even deny the existence of such a conflict. It is crucial, brothers and sisters, that we understand the importance of this theme from a biblical perspective, for we live in a world in need of God and oppressed by evil. You and I can be great instruments of God for people to know Christ and see the power of God. One of the main focuses of the Gospel of Mark is Jesus Christ's predominant interest in defeating Satan and his demonic powers. This power over Satan is especially evident in the expulsion of demons or unclean spirits. Let's read verse 27 of chapter 3 of the Gospel of Mark. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Satan is the strong man. The house is his domain. He is the god of this age, and his goods are the people he has influenced and demonized. Jesus is the one who binds Satan and plunders his house. During his ministry and miracles, Jesus often attacked the power of Satan and demons. Many verses mention that Jesus cast out demons from people. Let's read one of them in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 39. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. We often limit Christ's purpose in coming to earth to giving his life for us and saving us, and this is true. It is the greatest accomplishment. However, by coming to earth, Christ also came to bind Satan and free those he holds in bondage. See what the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In this passage from the prophet Isaiah, Jesus expresses the purpose of his ministry, anointed by the Spirit. First, to bring good news to the poor, destitute, afflicted, humble, and oppressed in spirit, the brokenhearted. Second, to heal the broken and oppressed, both physically and spiritually. Third, to open the spiritual eyes of those blinded by the world and by Satan, so they can see the truth of God's good news. Fourth, to proclaim the time of true freedom and salvation from the dominion of Satan, sin, fear, and guilt. Brothers and sisters, all who are filled with the Spirit are called to share in Jesus' ministry in this way. To do this, it is necessary to have a deep understanding of the terrible need and misery of the human race resulting from sin and the power of Satan, a state of bondage to evil, heartache, spiritual blindness, and physical affliction. During his ministry, Jesus showed great compassion for people who had needs in all areas, whether food, physical, or spiritual. Let's read the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 to 37. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. These verses show three actions that Jesus performed. First, Jesus preached. The herald brings the king's message. Jesus brought God's message. Second, Jesus taught. It is not enough to just proclaim Christian truths. We must demonstrate how these truths impact life and conduct. The challenge is to teach the gospel not only with words, but also with actions. Third, Jesus healed. The gospel that Jesus brought did not remain just in words. It translated into works. Reading the Gospels, we see that Jesus spent much more time healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and comforting the afflicted than just talking about God. He translated the words of Christian truth into works of Christian love. Dear listeners, in the complete Gospel, we can see how Jesus preached, taught, and healed during his ministry. Some theologians believe this was exclusively for the ministry of Jesus and the apostles, who received authority for such. John MacArthur, in his Bible commentary, says, "These signs were promised to the apostolic community and not to believers of all ages." Others believe that in the time of the apostles, people were possessed by demons, but now they are not anymore, as Christ defeated the enemy and can only sow evil thoughts in people. Those who embrace the cessationist doctrine understand that some of the gifts, especially those related to the apostles in the first century, were withdrawn by the Lord after the death of the Apostle John. We believe this is a mistake that has caused confusion and limited God's ability to act. In the New Testament, there are frequent references to those suffering from oppression and influence of Satan due to possession by an unclean spirit and Jesus' conflict with demons. Firstly, demons are spiritual beings with personality and intelligence, subjects of Satan's kingdom, and enemies of God and man. They are evil and under Satan's authority. Secondly, demons support false gods, so the worship of idols and false gods is in itself the worship of demons. Let's read 1 Corinthians 10:20. "Rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I do not want you to have fellowship with demons." Thirdly, the New Testament presents the world separated from God and taken over by Satan. Demons are part of the hierarchy of rulers of the darkness of this age, and believers must be in constant struggle against them. Fourthly, demons can, and often do, live in the body of the unbeliever, being able to speak through him, enslave him, and incline him to evil, immorality, and destruction. Let's read Luke 4:41. "And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, 'You are the Christ, the Son of God.' And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ." Fifthly, demons can cause physical illness in the human body, although not all diseases and ailments result from unclean spirits. Let's read Luke 13:11. "And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up." Sixthly, those who engage in spiritism, magic, and witchcraft deal with unclean spirits, which can easily lead to demonic enslavement. Seventhly, evil spirits will be very active in the last days of this age, promoting occultism, immorality, violence, and cruelty, attacking the Word of God and sound doctrine. The greatest manifestation of demonic activity will be seen in the Antichrist and his followers. Dear listeners, it is evident that demons are a reality, and everything recorded in the Gospels and the Book of Acts is true. Demonic opposition is an obstacle to people's freedom and the preaching of the gospel. Some may consider this Pentecostal fanaticism, but it is, in fact, an indisputable truth. During my ministry, I have witnessed many people being freed from demonic influence. I remember a particular case. A desperate woman came seeking help. I asked what was happening, and she said she was obsessed with a man she couldn't live without, even knowing he had someone else. The woman was agitated and moved strangely. I suggested she join a prayer session in the afternoon, and she agreed. We began to pray, and suddenly she fell to the ground. I approached to pray for her, and in the name of the Lord, rebuked everything that tormented her. She let out a desperate scream, and after a few minutes, we helped her up. She had been set free, and from that moment on, her life changed. Brothers and sisters, we have seen men and women being freed from depression, anxieties, hatred, among other evils. Therefore, it saddens me greatly to see many pastors denying this truth and not realizing that Satan benefits from it. Christ promised true believers authority over the power of Satan and his followers. When confronting them, we must break the power they hold over people, engaging in intense spiritual battle through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's read Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The power, in Greek dunamis, means more than strength or ability. It especially refers to power in operation, in action. The main work of the Holy Spirit in testimony and proclamation is to come upon believers so they receive power and witness to the saving work and resurrection of Christ, demonstrating the works of God. According to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verse 27, the spiritual conflict against Satan has three aspects. Let's read the biblical text. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. First, declare war against Satan according to God's purpose. Second, enter Satan's house, any place where he has a stronghold, attack and defeat him through prayer and proclamation of the word, destroying his weapons of temptation and demonic deception. Third, plunder his possessions, that is, liberate those he holds in bondage and hand them over to God so they may receive forgiveness and sanctification through faith in Christ. There are personal steps we must take, and this is where many fail. But if you take these steps seriously, you will become an instrument of God in his hands. First, recognize that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Let's read Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. These satanic evil rulers and princes of darkness are not people, but fallen angels, controlled by Satan. They are not mere fantasies, they are real. We face a powerful army whose aim is to destroy the Church of Christ. When we believe in Christ and join his church, these beings become our enemies and use all kinds of tricks to draw us away from Christ and make us sin again. Though we are assured of victory, we must watch until Christ comes, for Satan constantly fights against all who are on the Lord's side. We need supernatural power to overcome Satan, and God can give us that power through the Holy Spirit within us and his armor that protects us. Let's read Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Third, have faith that Satan's power can be broken anywhere in his domain, and understand that the believer possesses powerful spiritual weapons given by God for the destruction of Satan's strongholds. Let's read 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Fourth, proclaim the gospel of the kingdom in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There is a type of preaching that lacks the Holy Spirit, but there is also preaching characterized by the power of the Holy Spirit. This preaching is powerful, touches hearts, and breaks the yoke of the enemy. Fifth, confront Satan and his power directly, believing in the name of Jesus Christ, using the Word of God, praying in the Spirit, fasting, and casting out demons in Jesus' name. Let's read Matthew 17:21. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Dear listener, if you do not fully dedicate yourself to seeking the Lord in his Word, fasting, and prayer, it will be very difficult to see God's power operating. It is sad and lamentable that many congregations do not seek God deeply in prayer and fasting. But if you do and are strengthened in the power of the Spirit, pray with faith, and you will see God's glory. Sixth, ask God above all that the Holy Spirit convicts the lost of sin, righteousness, and the coming judgment. Let's read John 16:8-10. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Seventh, ask God to manifest the Spirit through gifts of healing, miracles, signs and wonders, and desire this manifestation. Let's read Acts 4:29-31. Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Dear listeners, it is important to remember that God's power is real and can save, heal, and deliver those oppressed by evil. As a church, we must unite in prayer for the Holy Spirit to begin to operate with power and wonders in all those affected by evil. It is sad to see that some congregations are weak and do not experience God's power. Dear listener, rise in the name of Jesus and begin to pray to be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray with faith for those suffering from anxiety and stress, rebuking in Jesus' name, and you will see God's glory manifest in their lives. Remember that the scriptures clearly teach that Christ desires his followers to perform miraculous signs while proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God. It is essential to understand that our role as followers of Christ is to be instruments of God to liberate those who are ensnared by Satan's schemes. The Bible teaches us that spiritual warfare is real and that we have powerful weapons to face it. Ephesians 6:10-11 tells us, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Putting on the armor of God means being spiritually prepared to face the challenges and temptations the enemy throws at us. Each piece of the armor represents an aspect of our faith and our relationship with God. The helmet of salvation protects our minds against the enemy's attacks. The breastplate of righteousness reminds us that we are justified by faith in Christ. The belt of truth keeps us firm in God's word. The shield of faith defends us against the fiery darts of the wicked one. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is our offensive weapon against Satan's lies. And the shoes of the gospel of peace prepare us to share the message of salvation with others. In our spiritual journey, we need to be vigilant and pray constantly. 1 Peter 5:8-9 warns us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Prayer is a powerful weapon that connects us directly with God and strengthens us to resist the enemy's temptations and attacks. We must also remember that, as followers of Christ, we are called to love and help one another. Galatians 6:2 encourages us, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." When we help our brothers and sisters in Christ, we show God's love in action and strengthen the community of faith. By praying for those who are suffering, we are interceding on their behalf and asking for divine intervention in their lives. Now, I want to share a personal testimony of how prayer and faith can bring deliverance and healing. There was a time when I was called to pray for a young man suffering from intense anxiety and panic attacks. His parents were desperate, as nothing seemed to help. When I arrived at their home, I found the young man in great distress. With his parents' permission, we began to pray fervently for him, calling on the power of the Holy Spirit. As we prayed, I felt God's presence fill the room. The young man began to cry, and gradually his anxiety diminished. After a few weeks of continuous prayer and spiritual support, he was completely freed from his anxiety and now lives a life full of peace and confidence in God. This testimony is just one example of how God can work powerfully in our lives and the lives of those around us. As Christians, we have the privilege and responsibility to be instruments of healing and deliverance for others. Mark 16:17-18 reminds us, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Beloved brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to seek a life of intimacy with God, to dedicate time to prayer and studying the Word. Only through a deep relationship with the Lord can we experience His power in our lives and be effective in our ministry to others. Do not underestimate the power of prayer and intercession. When we pray, heaven moves in our favor and on behalf of those we intercede for. Additionally, I want to remind you of the importance of maintaining a life of holiness and obedience to God. 1 Peter 1:15-16 exhorts us, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Living in holiness means turning away from sin and seeking to live according to God's principles. When we do this, we become vessels of honor, prepared for every good work. I also want to highlight the importance of fellowship with other believers. Hebrews 10:24-25 advises us, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Fellowship with other believers strengthens and encourages us in our spiritual walk. Together, we are stronger and can face spiritual battles with more confidence. In conclusion, I want to encourage you to never give up, no matter the difficulties you face. Philippians 4:13 reminds us, "I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me." Trust in the Lord, and He will give you the strength to overcome any obstacle. Remember that God is always with you, and He is faithful to fulfill His promises in your life. Thank you for watching this video. I hope this message has been edifying and encouraging for you. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and share this message with others. May God greatly bless your life.